Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, July the 30th, and our top story today is that the family of a woman who died after spending months on an NHS waiting list say she was let down. 43-year-old Jo Sharp from Ashford had been referred to a specialist after suffering a seizure in January, but she passed away earlier this month after experiencing an even worse seizure. Well, Jo's sister and brother, Jacqueline and Philip, have been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles.
What keeps me awake and I isn't the loss of my sister.
Yeah.
It's probably, if those boys can make it, you know, it's going to be difficult for them now with all the pressure that they're under. Financial as well as sort of the issues. It's just, it's heartbreaking to a certain extent because you know what's coming. And Joe not only kept the bluest family together, our own family, but she was a support mechanism for their partners.
I mean, I just kept the times I went around today, it's what my mate helped, not right. And she had the kettle on, you know, giving her a fluffy salt. Or some gentleman birds of shouting sex upstairs, go over Steve.
So
well, she'd run me a bath or things like that, you know, just simple things that are not a lot, but they mean the world.
Yeah. And that, it's a small thing.
Yeah.
It's that I always worked hard and I'd be struggling from time to time and you'd have a little call with her and I probably would disclose what was really bothering me. But then a couple of days later a parcel would turn up in the outside my house and it'd be, you know, something touching that sort of gave me that boost to...
We're a bit, you know, but he seems to see that he hides a lot more than he does, you know, and Joe could definitely see through that.
Which was good, you know. I mean, the best example was that when I broke my legs and I just split up with my partner and it wasn't long after mum had passed. I was in a, you know, I was running my own business and it was 90-hour weeks for a standard for me. Which is challenging to maintain a relationship and a house and everything. But I had that determination to try and succeed. And when it didn't work, or when I broke the legs, and I split up from my partner, I was alone, basically. And obviously, I hid that from my sister, because I didn't want her to feel sorry for me or whatever. But I'll never forget when she walked through the front door, when she came up to see me. And I haven't kept my emotions together for a long time. And I think just seeing her face... It was good for me because I just completely collapsed inside and it was what I needed, I suppose, to be fair. Although I felt it broke me, so, you know, but for me it was like, oh, there's my companion, there's, you know, I can be myself in front of her. And it was really good for me because I was in a bit of a dark place, I suppose, when you're used to running at 110 miles an hour and all of a sudden you stop. It becomes really quite difficult. So she was intuitive enough to read between the lines, and I think she was like that with everyone, I suppose. It wasn't just me. You didn't need to tell her your problems because she could tell if you were struggling, and she wouldn't force you to talk about it. She was, like you said, it was the subtle, small things that...
Yeah.
That made her special, I suppose.
Yeah.
We have been in contact with East Kent Hospitals Trust. They say they offer their heartfelt condolences to Jo's family and will work with the coroner to give the family answers.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And a woman's been charged with murder by police investigating the death of a man in Stroud. We're told the victim was in his 60s and was found at a property in Gun Lane on Friday. Nina Mercer, who's 42 and from the same road, appeared in court yesterday. Police are hunting a suspect following an alleged sex attack on a teenager in Medway. The victim was walking through Luton Rec near Ashtree Lane on Sunday night when she was approached by a man with a dog. We're told he was wearing an England shirt and had a tattoo sleeve on one arm. A prolific shoplifter from Medway has avoided another prison sentence. Lindsay Osborne appeared before magistrates after taking almost £200 worth of sweets and chocolate from a co-op in Rochester. The 39-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, was already serving time for similar offences but was given a conditional discharge. An Ashford care home has been placed in special measures after inspectors found staff used excessive restraint against residents. The hall in Ham Street provides care for up to 10 people with learning disabilities and autism. It's now been rated inadequate by the Care Quality Commission. Now, there's a warning. Temperatures could top 30 degrees in Kent today. That means a heat health alert is in force across the county and it won't end until Friday morning. Now, while you may be enjoying the sunshine and a blast of summer, we are being urged to be particularly careful to avoid putting unnecessary pressure on the NHS. Lucy has been chatting to Ellen Schwartz, who's Kent's Deputy Director of Public Health.
What happens when temperatures are that high is that the body has to work so much harder to cool down. And individuals at the extreme ends of life, so very young babies and older people, have, you know, for them it's much more difficult to regulate temperature. And also people with underlying health conditions, or people, let's say, who have sorts of dementia, who don't perceive that they are too hot, can't respond appropriately. So we're really kind of coming with a plea to all of you out there listening, and that is just watch out for people who could be vulnerable in your neighbourhood, families, you're basically around you, and make aware that they know the basic tricks, and that is protecting from the direct sun. So keep the curtains shut when the sun shines into a particular kind of window front, and open the windows when it's cool outside, not at the height of the hot weather. If you're going out, plan ahead. So if you're on a trip by car, plan ahead, take some water with you, make sure that you can protect yourself or babies from heat coming through the car windows. Or for other people who are, you know, these vulnerable people, is postpone your trip to the supermarket or to the pharmacy. Ensure that you've got things you need urgently at home already. Just a little bit of forward thinking to avoid that we're getting into really critical situations. And when, if you do go out, protect your head, wear a hat, use some sunscreen, because this sun is really strong. The risk is that, you know, that we're kind of losing strength, developing some severe weakness, faint, you know, heart problems can occur, lung problems can occur, even heart attacks can happen as a result of heat. So it is, for some people, a serious condition. And if you are in any doubt that somebody has developed some of these concerns and some of these problems, do dial 111 and seek medical help immediately.
Yeah, of course, what we don't want is people ending up in hospital or, you know, having to go to the doctors with heat stroke. Is there a potential risk it could put more pressure on the NHS this hot weather?
Absolutely. And this is from our experience, exactly what happens. These little episodes of extreme heat or higher temperatures, we see them immediately in terms of more attendance in hospitals. So the advice is really, as you say, also to keep that, you know, basically keep that pressure as low as it can possibly be. And just with a little bit of planning and working together as communities, I think we can do just that.
And of course, we're quite used to temperatures around 30 degrees now. It seems to happen every summer. I think this is our second heat health alert this year. Is that right? Obviously, potentially more to come. Is it still relevant issuing this guidance, even though it seems like quite a regular thing?
It's really relevant. And as you say, it will become more frequent still. And it's a learning curve for us to really adapt to more erratic weather. You know, there can be, as we've experienced, weeks of rain and actually low temperatures, and then we have this heat wave. And it's really learning how to kind of gear ourselves towards responding in the most appropriate way. So it is important that we continue broadcasting these messages to remind people, not just for their own health, but I emphasize really look out for those around you who may be vulnerable and may have just simply missed kind of thinking about having some medication in store or stuff like that.
Kent Online reports.
It's been confirmed no arrests have been made a year on from a fatal crash in Ashford. 20-year-old Matty Tabaka died and three others were injured when the car he was in collided with the Flanders Field roundabout in the early hours. A 21-year-old man was interviewed under caution at the time. Inquiries, we're told, are continuing. Elsewhere, crash investigators want to hear from other drivers after a woman was seriously injured in a crash near the Dartford Crossing. Emergency crews, including the air ambulance, were called after two vans and a lorry collided on the A282 last Wednesday afternoon. Meantime, there are plans to cut the speed limit on a busy road in Sheerness in a bid to improve safety. Campaigners are suggesting it's reduced from 40 to 30 miles per hour on Marine Parade between the Catamaran Yacht Club and Barton's Point Coastal Park. A 20-year-old was killed in a crash there earlier this year. The idea will now go out to public consultation. Now, if you live in Folkestone, you're being asked what you think should happen to the town's library. The building on Grace Hill has been closed since December 2022 because it became unsafe for customers and staff. The County Council have been looking at what should happen and proposing to leave the site and set up in a new facility instead. But John O'Connor from the Save Our Library campaign disagrees. He's been chatting to Kate.
I think the campaign is really the local community saying that this building matters enormously, and the sort of the battle goes back many, many years, actually. It's a building that's been very badly maintained, poorly funded. So the critical dates, I guess, would be December 22, when it was closed to the public due to water, which the council said was the fault of seagulls blocking the downpipes. And apparently they can't solve unblocking the downpipes. So it's been through various stages of discussions and so on over the last two years, year and a half. And we're still there. We've got a consultation live at the moment with Kent County Council.
And the Save the Library campaign, are you hoping to have the library services reinstated, the building brought back into use, and sort of all of the other associated services that come with it? Is that what you're aiming for?
Yeah, our aim is to say that this is a building, it was gifted and built for the community actually 1880 thereabouts. It was only given to Kent County Council in, I think, 1974 as a transfer of local authority responsibilities. So they only got the building in order to provide the library service. I would say if they're not going to provide the library service, give it back. It shouldn't be theirs to sell. So yeah, we want the building to be in community use. We want it to be owned by the responsible body, which at the moment is Kent County Council. We want a library service in there, and we want to sustain other factors. The Sassoon Gallery is really quite special. It was part of the gift to the community for arts and general culture. The location is also important, if I could just mention that, because the reason it was built there was because it served communities in Folkestone East, Folkestone Harbour, which actually experienced a lot of hardship and disadvantage.
A consultation will run until September the 11th. A former hospital near Tunbridge Wells is going to be knocked down to make way for a housing estate. 87 homes will be built on the old Benenden Hospital site, not far from Cranbrook. Developers will be contributing more than £500,000 to improve local infrastructure.
Kent Online reports.
Nine fire engines have been sent to tackle a huge cornfield blaze near Canterbury. Video at Kent Online today shows the flames and smoke off Island Road in Hursden. It broke out at around 4:30 yesterday afternoon and crews spent nearly 3 hours at the scene. There's going to be another closure of the King's Ferry Bridge as work hasn't been completed on time. Now, you may know that Network Rail have been replacing steel ropes on the bridge, which links Sheppey with mainland Kent. We're told it'll be shut for another 8 days to complete the repairs, and that'll probably happen during the October half term. People living in a village outside Ashford fear they're losing losing their identity because so many new homes are being built. This is actually one of the most read stories on the website today, and it comes as plans for another development have been put forward for land that used to belong to Wye College. If approved, it would see an old science lab demolished and would be the fifth project on the 80-acre plot. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story or via our socials. Now, there are fears introducing parking charges in a part of Kent will kill a town centre. Until now, shoppers heading into Tunbridge on a Sunday didn't have to pay. But plans have been approved to extend weekday charges to 8pm and at weekends, Sunday charging will be introduced. Well, Ron Main lives in the town and has been speaking to the local Democracy reporting service.
Decimated Tunbridge Wells, where they've increased their parking charges on a Sunday. Raynham in Kent, Seven Oaks, all these places charge for parking on a Sunday, and look how it's made them ghost towns. This is what I fear is going to happen to Tunbridge. I won't use the car parks in the evening. I'll go to where there's a free car parking space, like many other people do, and the town will lose out.
Graham Simmons also has concerns.
I think going forward, they've got to monitor the result very carefully and in short order to make sure some of these businesses don't suffer to an extent that they end up closing down. And going forward, I think the council and the council leader has learnt that engagement with the residents needs to be a lot better than it has been.
Matt Borton is the leader of Tunbridge and Moreland Council.
We've also never hidden away from the fact that obviously this does bring in extra income for the council. I don't really want to pretend it doesn't do, because it does, and obviously that helps fund important services that residents expect as well. So I think it's only fair to be open and honest with residents across Tunbridge and Moreland about that, but at the same time I trust that they want a good, well-run local council, and also parking issues in the area to be addressed. So that's why we've made the changes that we're making.
The new fees will be introduced on August the 19th. An Ashford woman's been left covered in blisters after being bitten by a tiger mosquito in the Caribbean. Amy was treated with antibiotics after getting a rash while on holiday with her partner in the Dominican Republic, but it reacted with other medication she was on, leaving her with peeling skin and a swollen body. And the RSPCA's urging councils in Kent and the rest of England to ban goldfish from being given away as prizes at fairgrounds. The charity says the animals often suffer as a result of the practice. Their survey shows 9 in 10 people here in the southeast are shocked that it's still legal.
Kent Online Sports.
To the Olympics first, and Gillingham-born Isla Norman-Bell has helped Britain into the quarterfinals of the women's rugby sevens. Elsewhere, Kent's Georgia May Fenton will be competing in the women's team gymnastics final later. And in tennis, Emma Raducanu has got off to a winning start at the Washington Open. The 21-year-old from Orpington beat Belgium's Elise Mertens in 3 sets and says it was all about getting through.
Trying to find a way to work your way into the tournament, and I'm very proud of that. I think the first set I played some pretty good tennis too, and I think I lost my focus a bit in the second, and I'm happy to have recovered the break back in the third set. So I think I'm just most proud of my mentality and character today.
She chose not to represent Team GB at the Olympics so she can focus on preparations for the US Open. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.